Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Is your appetite for some football getting stronger every day as we approach the upcoming college and NFL seasons? Well, for August 17th edition of the Football History Headlines, we remember the founding of the Detroit Wolverines franchise, the first NFL battle of the New York, and the new NFL venue opens up near Boston. These stories and more coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. Welcome once again to the Pigpen and to the Sports History Network, where we are one of 20 great podcasts that are bringing you sports history each and every day. It is the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. Welcome, welcome. We are going to be talking about the great football events that happened on August 17th throughout football history. And there are some great things that really happened in this day. And first of all, we have a corresponding blog post on pigskindispatch.com for August 17th. You can go there. You can see some great graphics. We're going to be talking about the Detroit Wolverines in just a moment. And there is a great graphic that was shared by Bill Schaefer of the Gridiron Uniform Database. And we thank him for sharing some of these excellent graphics. His great research of him and his teams, Tim Bruglia and others, have just really brought the colors and the of these uniforms to life of what the Detroit Wolverines wore back in the day. So very exciting to look at those as you listen to this podcast. And speaking of that, let's go right to it. August 17th, 1928, the Detroit Wolverines franchise is launched on this date. Now, they were part of the NFL. The Wolverines were a continuation of the 1926 Cleveland Bulldogs team that had fallen on hard times, but they had the NFL's second biggest star in Benny Friedman. Mr. Friedman was a Cleveland native, and he played college ball at Michigan. And back in that era of the Pigskin, college football was the king, and most of these mentioned pro teams attempted to cash in on the college popularity by using the team's nickname of the local college. The team only played one season as the Detroit Wolverines, as in 1929, they were absorbed into the New York Football Giants. In an interesting spin, the Giants had never beaten Benny Friedman on any of the teams they played in professional football. They were 0-2-2 against him lifetime and 0-1-1 against both the Cleveland Bulldogs and the Detroit Wolverines. The 1927 World Champion Giants swept the entire league except for one team, the Friedman-led Bulldogs. Apparently, the Giants owner, Tim Mara, had seen enough and figured he couldn't beat Friedman. He had bought him and the rest of the Wolverines team, because if you can't beat them, join them or have them join you. So that's what Tim Mara did to avoid that great Benny Friedman curse. He really had their number. August 7th, 1951, at Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois, the 18th edition of the Chicago All-Star Game is played, and it is the Cleveland Browns who took apart the college All-Stars 33-0. The game's most valuable player, always the top college star, that performed that day was Lewis McFadden from the University of Texas. August 17th, 1969, at the Yale Bowl in New Haven, Connecticut. Yes, that's at Yale University. The New York Jets get their first ever game with their crosstown rival, the New York Giants, in a preseason game. The defending Super Bowl champion New York Jets defeated the New York Giants 37-14 in an exhibition game, resulting in the firing of Giants head coach Ali Sherman, according to Yahoo.com. It was the first game between the Jets and the Giants, who have played annually in the preseason every year since. Now, isn't that interesting that a coach would get fired for an exhibition game, a preseason game, and he would get fired right before the season starts? Must have been something else cooking up there for that to happen, because that seems awfully odd. I know starters played in the whole games back then in the preseason, but still, odd occurrence indeed. August 17th, 1991, Arena Bowl 5 is played as Detroit's Joe Louis Arena is the host, and it had the visiting Tampa Bay Storm that wins the title over the Detroit Drive in an exciting 48-42 final score. Stevie Thomas, the wide receiver slash linebacker, is named as the game's most valuable player. August 17, 2002, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. It opens up with a preseason tilt where the New England Patriots hosted the Philadelphia Eagles. And boy, there's been some great games played at Foxborough Gillette Stadium since 2002. That was sort of the inaugural year that they've just started having some championship games. And soon after that, they got a guy by the name of Tom Brady that brought some great things into the Boston area with the New England Patriots. So I guess we're going to take a pause right now to hear a word from our sponsor, Row One Brand. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of you unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Row One Brand, great wall art that they can show you, some great graphics. We have a New York Jets Big Apple on display for the August 17th edition on the pigskindispatch.com. Check it out, as well as all the other great picks in the Pictorum Gallery of Row One Brand. It's not just football, it's all different sports, but those ticket stubs, oh, they're unbelievable. I think you'll really enjoy them. Now let's go to, we have our one Hall of Fame birthday today, August 17th, 1905, Rags Matthews. He was an end from Texas Christian University, and he was enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame induction ceremonies in 1971. Rags played both defensive and offensive end positions for the Horned Frogs. His outstanding play earned Matthews the honor of being TCU football's most valuable player both in the 1926 and the 1927 seasons. Now, we also have some birthdays of some very significant players in football history, but they're not yet in the Hall of Fame, and we want to make sure we bring mention to them. Now, happy birthday, August 17, 1966, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Alabama State's former offensive tackle, Zafros Moss, was born. Moss signed with the Dallas Cowboys as an undrafted free agent in 1988, but also played with the Colts, Lions, and Patriots, according to Yahoo.com, and Mr. Moss started 137 of his 154 NFL games. August 17, 1968, Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, Stanford's great wide receiver Ed McCaffrey arrived in the world. Mr. McCaffrey was the 83rd overall pick by the New York Giants in the 1991 NFL draft, and Ed's great career included 565 receptions for 7,422 yards and 55 touchdowns with the Giants, 49ers, and Broncos. McCaffrey, per a Yahoo.com report, was a Pro Bowl selection and a second team All-Pro in 1998. He won three Super Bowls in his career. Super Bowl 29 with the 49ers and Super Bowls 32 and 33 with the Denver Broncos. August 17, 1972, Renton, Washington. The University of Washington's former tight end, Ernie Conwell, was born. The St. Louis Rams chose Ernie in the 1996 NFL draft with the 59th overall pick. His career spanned not only with the Rams, but also with the New Orleans Saints, as he hauled in 203 career receptions for 2,188 yards and 15 touchdowns. Yahoo.com reports that Conwell was an All-Pro in 2001, and he won Super Bowl 34 with the Rams. August 17, 1979, Riverdale, Illinois. Wide receiver Antoine Randall, who once donned the uniform of the University of Indiana from 1998 through the 2001 season, arrived into this life. Randall was selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers with the 62nd overall pick in the 2002 NFL draft. And besides having two stints with the Steelers on each end of his career, he also played three seasons with Washington's franchise. For his long career, according to Yahoo.com, Antoine grabbed 370 receptions for 4,467 yards and 15 touchdowns, as well as 79 carries for 438 yards, with 311 punt returns for 2,557 yards and 5 touchdowns, and 79 kick returns for 1,759 yards and 1 score. Mr. Randall won Super Bowl ring as he was part of the Pittsburgh team that won Super Bowl 40, where he threw a touchdown strike to the game's most valuable player, Hines Ward, on a gadget play. Now, those are just some excellent players that we wanted to talk about. And Randall L. Was a great quarterback at Illinois, or at Indiana, I'm sorry. And he became a wide receiver when he went into the NFL. So, you know, excellent players there. Some excellent history of the, you know, the Jets and the Giants first meeting, the Detroit Wolverines, and all the others. Just some great football history that we cover each and every day. Football history is getting more and more exciting as we get closer and closer to the season start, and you'll really see the events starting to pop up here like popcorn, and it really is great to talk about football history each and every day, and we do it here on pigskindispatch.com. We also have all the blog posts and everything right there for you. If you want to email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, you can. You can follow us on Twitter at pigskindispatch. Facebook, we have the Pigskin Dispatch page, and you know, showing some likes on each of those, we would definitely appreciate that. You could also see us on Reddit under the subreddit of r sports history. And speaking of sports history, follow us also as we are part of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, and we join about 20 some others in putting some great sports history podcasts all in one place for you, sportshistorynetwork.com. So make sure you check that out and take advantage of our sponsors' offers, including Row One Brand with that 15% discount and a pictorum gallery of it. You'll get some great wall art for your home. And they also have a lot of other things that you can put that art on, coffee cups and the like. So check them out and give them some love. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.